You be the gospel, please. Be the gospel, please.
Arriving, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, O highly favored daughter, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And she was deeply troubled by his words and wondered what his greeting meant. And the angel went on to say to her, "Do not fear, Mary, you have found favor with God. You shall conceive and bear a son, and give him the name of Jesus. Great will be his dignity, and he will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father. He will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and his reign will be without end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know men?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and hence the holy offering to be born will be called Son of God. Know that Elizabeth, your kinswoman, has conceived a son in her old age. She who was thought to be sterile is now in her 6th month, for nothing is impossible with God." And Mary said, "I am the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be done to me as you say." And with that, the angel left. And this is the gospel of the Lord.
Today, as we commemorate the 42nd anniversary of the founding of the Missionaries of Charity, I think we should, first of all, thank God for the graces that He has given not just to the Missionaries of Charity, but by now to hundreds of thousands, even millions of people over the past 42 years. It was surely not coincidental that the Society of the Missionaries of Charity was founded in 1950. In 1950, on November the 1st, Pope Pius XII defined Mary's bodily assumption into heaven. I was in Rome at the time. After the definition of the next day, Holy Father told the assembled some 700 bishops what he hoped the definition of Our Lady's Assumption would bring, especially to the Catholic world: a deeper realization that we are to love God deeply, like Mary, and with our bodies. That's the way the incarnation began, by Mary surrendering her body to God, by conceiving by the power of the Holy Spirit the Son of God in human form. The Missionaries of Charity in the last 42 years, whom I have known quite well now for 17 years. Remember the first time I met Mother Teresa. She called, "Can you come over?" In New York. My first meeting with Mother Teresa was 5 hours. What I thought I would share in our homily this morning is how the missionaries of charity in the past 42 years have followed Our Lady as the first missionary of charity. First of all, Mary, by her humility and the mission of charity in imitating Mary by the practice of deep selfless humility. If there is one thing that I have found that characterizes the missionaries of charity, and I pray that they will remain faithful to imitating Our Lady in their practice of humility. Not looking for recognition, not expecting to be honored. And by now I know enough about their way of life to also appreciate that they are called upon to practice humility just by being obedient and faithful missionaries of charity. Mother Teresa does get public recognition, and as she's told me more than once, I thought to myself, if there were somebody less deserving on earth for founding the missionaries of charity, God would have found such a person. I honestly believe, she says, I am the least worthy to have instituted the missionaries of charity. My hope, there'll be three virtues we're going to talk about. This is virtue number one, humility. The missionaries of charity will be pleasing to God and will do great work for the Lord, provided they remain very, and I mean very humble. This means many things, but one thing I know it means, and that is simple, humble obedience to your way of life. I know of more demanding humility than that of obedience. Sisters, in the name of God, stay that way. In good Anglo-Saxon, it ain't easy. Secondly, following Our Lady, I believe the missionaries of charity have been outstanding in imitating the Blessed Virgin in their practice of charity. There are not too many episodes about the Blessed Virgin in the Gospels. But the first and most important is the Annunciation. And in the course of the Annunciation, the angel told Our Lady that her kinswoman Elizabeth had conceived, was already in her sixth month. Mary, without being ordered to do so, went to help Elizabeth to practice charity, as the missionaries of charity realize, means work, often humanly unpleasant work. It means, and Detroit is an exception, not all the residences of the missionaries of charity, dare I say it, are as lush as here in Detroit. To practice charity and seeking out and finding them the poorest of the poor, this is what Our Lady did in her day. And that's what the missionaries of charity, thank God, have been doing for the last 42 years. But I wouldn't be who I am if I did not bring out my hope for the missionaries of charity for the next 42 years. What will that be? 8 more left in this century. So, to the year 2000, and is it 34? That in the next 42 years, over the years, if there's one thing that I've been pleading with Mother Teresa to do, and how thrilled I was when the Holy Father told her to do it. Mother, there is great poverty in the world. People starving, homeless, helpless, physically. But the most destitute poverty is not in the body. The most destitute poverty is in the soul. Remember on one occasion, I think it was in Tijuana, that I asked the assembled sisters, from your now revised constitutions, where you are told to give you free and wholehearted service to the poorest of the poor, but it is the physically and the spiritually poorest of the poor. So I asked them, and with apologies for asking you sisters, how would you answer this question? You are to serve the poorest of the poor, physically, and now it's black on white, and spiritually, the poorest of the poor. Do the people whom you serve, who are the who are spiritually destitute, do they also have to be physically destitute for you to serve them? Am I clear? Are you to serve people who may not be materially poor at all, but can be spiritually starving? Are you to serve such people too? Sisters, that is not a trivial question. In other words, I'm not sure, I'm really not sure whether the greatest destitution in Greater Detroit is, say, here, or, for example, in Farmington Hills, or Bloomfield, the lush suburbs of Detroit. Is it part of your spirituality, sisters, to serve also the rich people materially who are starving for the Word of God and are spiritually dying? Yes. And how this needs to be said, especially in the materially wealthiest nation in the world, the United States. Only God knows. But I believe the United States is among the most spiritually destitute countries in the world. I hope you believe me. Imitating Our Lady in the practice of charity towards, and I would say with emphasis, especially the spiritually destitute. Finally, having been founded in the historic year when Our Lady's bodily assumption was defined by the Holy Father, if there is one virtue, and I can testify to this, the missionaries of charity have been practicing and thus imitating Our Lady, is in her great love for her divine Son, Jesus. And the same Jesus that Mary carried in her arms, and we may be sure embraced many times, that same Jesus is here, identical. Only the Lord knows. I've talked to enough priests that work with the missionaries of charity. When I remember whom I introduced to the missionaries of charity to work for you sisters in the eastern part of our country, more than once he told me, I consider the greatest grace after my ordination that you introduced me to the missionaries of charity, but especially, and dear God, hold on to this, especially your deep faith in and your love of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. That was Our Lady. She lived by faith. For the 9 months she carried Jesus in her womb, she believed she was carrying her Creator. When she gave birth to him at Bethlehem and nursed him, she believed she was nursing the Almighty God. It was Our Lady who obtained from her divine Son the first miracle that he worked at Cana. I mean this when I say it. I believe the missionaries of charity have been, and I mean it, working miracles . Phenomenal achievements. At table last night, I mentioned, one of my Jesuit brethren asked me, what did I do today? I said, I had just come from the missionaries of charity. So he asked me, How many sisters do they have? I said, over 3,000. How many vocations do they have? I said, now it's over 200 entering every year. I said, I can't believe it. Why, it's true. And you will get thousands of vocations on one condition, that you remain faithful to your vocation. Please God, our Lord will keep Mother on earth, for many more years. I told some of you when she was asked, she told me, how old are you, Mother? On the outside, I'm 80. On the inside, I'm 18. The Lord will call her in His own time. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let your face shine on your servant and teach me your laws.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, if one of you knew someone who comes to him in the middle of the night and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come in from a journey. I have nothing to offer him. And he from inside should reply, leave me alone. The door is shut now, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up to look after your needs. I tell you, even though he does not get up and take care because of friendship, he will find himself doing so because of his persistence, and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. For whoever asks receives, whoever seeks finds, whoever knocks is admitted. What father among you will give his son a snake if he asks for a fish, or hand him a scorpion if he asks for an egg? If you, with all your sins, know how to give your children good things, how much more will the Heavenly Father give His Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
As often as we've heard the Gospel we've just read, we can never hear it either too often or put it too often into practice. Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it will be opened to you. Surely, one of the deepest mysteries of our faith is the fact that God, who is almighty and all-loving, should nevertheless require that we pray and ask for what we need. I repeat, if there was ever a mystery, that must be it. God, who created us out of nothing, He knows perfectly well what we need. Indeed, not only to support ourselves in this life, but need especially to reach our heavenly destiny. He knows what we need. He wants to give it to us. But, and I repeat, behind that but is the deepest mystery of Christianity. But he wants us, with our free wills, to acknowledge our need of him, dependence on him, and that we are to express our needs. Otherwise, we shall not receive. What's the mystery? The mystery is, why should God have created rational human beings whom he loves? Why should this God require of his creatures that we can say, tell him what they need? He knows it. We cannot explain, but as close as we can come to an explanation, it is because God wants us to acknowledge, recognize, express our need of him. And this is, if I could put it in one sentence, the most fundamental need of a prosperous, advanced country like our own. We seem to be so self-sufficient because what we want, we get. If we don't get it, we shout for it. If we still don't get it, we have the civil law to force people to get it. Well, from God, you get what you need only if you ask for it. And another name for asking is prayer. Two recommendations. Cultivate the habit every day of being aware of what you need. That's why God gives us what we call troubles or difficulties, sorrow, temptation, disappointment. All of this is his own divine way of reminding us of our constantly and desperately we need him. First in the mind, and then secondly, express our need the moment we recognize it. I can tell you, on these principles, we shall cultivate inevitably the habit of constant prayer. Why? Because we are in constant need. And the more constantly we are aware of our constant need, the more constantly we shall pray. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Happy are they who have kept the word with a generous heart and yield a harvest to perseverance. Hallelujah. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. As time had come, Jesus was casting out a devil. Some of the crowd said, "It is by Beelzebul, the prince of devils, that he casts out devils." others to test him by demanding of him a sign from heaven. Because he knew their thoughts, he said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste. Any house torn by dissension falls. If Satan is divided against himself, how can his kingdom last? Since you say, 'It is by Beelzebul that I cast out devils,' if I cast out devils by Beelzebul, by whom do your people cast them out? In such a case, let them act as your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out devils, then the kingdom of God is upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his courtyard, his possessions go undisturbed. But when someone stronger than he comes and overpowers him, such a one carries off the arms on which he was relying and divides the spoils. The man who is not with me is against me, and the man who does not gather with me scatters. When an unclean spirit has gone out of a man, it wanders through the arid waste, searching for a resting place. Failing to find one, it says, 'I will go back where I came from.' It then returns to find the house swept and tidied. Next goes out and returns with seven other spirits, far worse than itself, who enter in and dwell there. The result is that the last state of the man is worse than the first. This is the gospel of the Lord." The gospel we've just read about our Lord casting out evil spirits could not be more appropriate for our day. If there is one thing that the modern world, our own modern United States, needs, is a massive national exorcism. The unbelieving world in which we live, we talk about the devil either casually or condescendingly, as there are still people, you know, those fanatics who think there are devils. There are. And the devil and his minions are, as we know in our day, phenomenally successful. There are three names why the sacred scripture identifies the devil: adversary, murderer, adversary, murderer, and deceiver. AMD. The devil, in God's mysterious providence, is the chief adversary of the human race. We know this happened already at the dawn of the human family. And God allowed the evil spirit to seduce first Eve, then she beguiled Adam. And the devil's adversative power against human beings is born of envy. Having refused to obey God and been driven into hell, the devil envies us, who, being still on earth, and if we remain faithful to God, we will go where the devil came from before he fell. As I like to repeat, not a few fathers of the church believe there will be until the end of time as many human beings created by God as there were devils who were driven out of heaven into hell. And that's a lot of devils. The devil is our chief enemy, our principal adversary, malevolent. Secondly, the devil is a murderer. A murderer of souls and a murderer of bodies. Except for his having successfully seduced Eve, there would have been no original sin in the world. And as faith tells us, no one would have died. There is no doubt, a shred of doubt in my mind. The principal agent behind abortion is the devil. The abortionists, I've said it publicly, and I want to emphasize, the abortionists are all possessed agents of the devil. Human beings, just do not hate, say, mothers, their unborn children. They must be, to coin a word, be somehow inspired by the devil. And we know this, by the way, from all the non-Christian religions of history. We have a plurality of God. It's a pattern. Evil deities, who we realize are devils, all require human sacrifice. The Aztecs, giving my lectures on Columbus earlier this year, the Aztecs on a given day might murder 40,000 people, especially women and children, on one day as a sacrifice to their evil gods, who we know are devils. But the real homicide, which the devil is hell-bent on perpetrating, is murdering human souls. And thirdly, the devil, in biblical language, is a deceiver. And the media, I cannot keep from repeating, the media are the organized organs in the modern world, some exceptions, but not many, of the deceiver, who is the devil. In the light of what we believe about the evil spirit, it is obvious what we must do. Pray daily, daily, against the instigations of the devil. And, just for the record, in the Eastern churches, the closing of the Our Father is, "And deliver us from the evil one." From the devil. Secondly, we must realize that human beings are agents of the devil. Good, perfect Catholic theology. Every person in mortal sin is an agent of the devil. And those agents can be sweet, seductive, attractive, wealthy, powerful. And they're not all outside the Catholic Church. How well I know. Lord Jesus, enlighten our faith and strengthen our faith in the existence of a demonic world. With Saint Peter guiding us, dear Lord, strengthen our faith, as he tells us, so we may courageously resist the devil and spend our lives in alerting others so they will not be either seduced by the evil spirit, or if they have been, deliver them from the powers of the evil one. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Our Holy Father God, may continue to strengthen him as he resists the power of the devil in today's world. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Your own personal petitions.